way. So it was also kind of difficult, I think, to navigate things in Portland. And I wouldn't say it was like the most positive changing over. Like, there was definitely sad, hurt feelings, not understanding why. And I think that was the hardest thing for me. I don't like conflict. I don't know who does. I think conflict is like healthy, but it's hard to have conflict with a person that you've never gotten to really sit down and like speak with and explain. And then in the kind of the talking of like, well, this is all so people feel included. It was like, but we were including people. And it was like, no, but like you have to address those things. You can't just like hide comments and just be like for all, but not really acknowledge those people. That's like the biggest thing about being like a person of color, being like a queer person, is not having who you are validated and just having you lumped in, kind of. So I think that was like the hardest thing about the changing over and feeling like I was taking someone's baby, because, you know, they had worked so hard on it and now I feel like it's my baby and I am sad that I can't share it with them in a way, but also understanding them like wanting to take space and needing to be away from it. So
was there any crossover? Did any people from the original team?
Some, yeah, so actually a lot of volunteers were like, cool, whatever, like, we're still here. The person who does our Twitter, she came over and she's been really, really great. I feel like she uses Twitter so much better than I ever could. And I'm pretty sure she's like almost as old as my mom. And I'm like, we use Slack for our meetings and for everything, and so I'm always like, I don't know how to do this, and she's like, just do this and do this, and I'm like, oh my gosh, how do I sit on the computer all day? It's like what I do, and I still can't do it. Like, I still can't navigate the internet at all.
So when that censorship was going on Facebook, mm-hmm. do you think the organizers or the whoever it was that was making those calls realized that they were virtually erasing the identities and voices of those people?
I don't think that that's what they realized. I do think that they thought that they were keeping it so there wasn't conflict. And that's been the thing, is a lot of people are so uncomfortable with having to address things like race and like privilege. And that was a lot of comments were like, so I'm privileged because this is the color of my skin. Well, I don't see color. And it's like, oh, don't see that. Don't do that, you know? Because, like, I'm like, let me pull out my slides. Let me educate you.
Yeah, please, please don't all lives matter this moment.
And that was kind of what was taking place, was like, and it's this thing where, like I get it, you know? I, like, understand why it sounds great to be like, we all matter, you know? Mm-hmm. It just sounds nice, but it's not realistic. And it doesn't, like, make the person that's living, you know, and, like, being oppressed feel great. So I don't think they understood. I do think it was a thing where they were like, no, we're keeping harmony, because who doesn't like a peaceful, joyful scene? But I don't think that that makes change. I think that that encourages the same. It encourages settling. It encourages you sitting and just holding a sign up every once in a while and being like, that made me feel good. But it's like, we are done feeling good. Like, I think that this is an example of like how things erupted, of like how dangerous it is to just paint over things and to pretend that we're in a post-racial America. It's like, we're not, though. We have to address these things in order to actually move ourselves forward. And so I was perfectly fine watching people have these conversations and having their realities kind of torn apart, because I think we have the educated people who like understand that. And when I say educated around like civil rights and equal rights and what it means to be like oppressed. And then there are the everyday people who haven't ever had to think about it. And I'm like, we have to reach those people. They are like, there's so many of them and we need them. And so I am that kind of person that will have these conversations and spend a lot of energy and emotions on it, because I'm like, I need you to like understand so you can get to work.
So I would love to give you a little platform here to quash some of the rumors that have been going around. So I'd love to ask you. Cool. There is the rumor that men are no longer welcomed at this march. Who is welcome at this march? Because there's
everyone. Every person. I don't know where that started, but I think it was the thing of like, check your privilege. This is we're making space for these people. And instantly everyone's like, so men aren't welcome. And I was like, what? I like went back and I've never said that in my life. And I was like, did I write that? Did someone? And I was like, how did you get that? But yeah, men are welcome. And actually we have like, there is like a men's group who is volunteering and like helping us, and they're going to be our support walkers and handle our transportation for those who are disabled and older.
And what about families and children? Are you encouraging people of all ages to come out?
Yes, we want everyone. So we have, before our march begins around 12, we have a pre-rally for families, and there will be music and balloons and there's sign making. There will also be like we have three girls from three different high schools who will be reading things. And then we'll also have another high schooler, I think, during our like actual rally. So we're trying to make sure that every generation is like involved. That's also really important. It shouldn't just be older folks or just younger, but we want all of the generations.
So it sounds like literally everybody's invited.
Everyone! It's a party.
And, you know, some people have been saying, well, what is this march about? Is some people, you know, a lot of people have their own individual reasons.
It's true.
And is this an anti-Trump march necessarily?
So that's so interesting, because I feel like that keeps being asked. And I was under the impression that it was just a response to like, we're not going to lose our rights. This is what we want. And so I think it might be a layered thing. It probably is partially like, we don't like Trump, but a lot of it, I would say it with our chapter specifically, is like, this is this new feminist movement. This is me standing here recognizing that I'm oppressed in this way, but you're oppressed in this way, and you're oppressed in this way, and I recognize it, and I'm going to use my privilege to help you, and we're going to be in this fight together, but I'm never going to stop checking who I am and like what I'm doing, and I'm going to commit to like building on this and moving forward. And that's the thing that we're working on, is making sure that after this march, we're still doing community building. And so we're working on a plan to do that.
That's exciting.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it.
I don't know if it feels like this to you, and I'm curious, but it seems like this is like a breakthrough in that it clearly illustrates that bringing up white privilege with, or any sort of privilege with those who enjoy it, is like a valid thing to do and like pays off. I think there's a lot of like reticence mm-hmm. within social justice communities mm-hmm. to like, it's just exhausting to do.
Yeah, it is.
And there's a lot of pushback and there's a lot of defensiveness, mm-hmm. but somehow everything is like kind of like converged in this situation to allow something like that to happen. Like, is that setting in? Like, what is this sort of like feeling you get?
I think it's just this thing that I've always believed in, which I feel like I get a lot of crap for. Can I say crap on the radio? What is, I don't know another word for it.
Guff.
Oh, that's a good word. I actually feel like I'm going to use it all the time. But I feel like I am really patient in the conversation about privilege, because I'm like, if I don't do it and I pass it on to someone else, what if they don't do it and then they pass it on? And I know we say, just Google it, but I don't know if people are aware of like how they would Google that or how you would research that. And so I like to make spaces for those conversations. And that's what I do like twice a month here in Portland, is like create space for people to come and have these conversations about privilege and what makes them uncomfortable about it, but also letting them know you have to be uncomfortable for change to happen. Like, it's just part of it. You have to get used to it. You cannot stay where you are. You're going to have to remove yourself. And at first you'll take like a little step, and then after that you'll start running and you won't even notice, but you have to start somewhere.
Yeah, this my personal things, I'm going to insert them in here a little bit, was when I first saw this march happening, and I was wondering about the kind of white feminism focus mm-hmm. that the original march had. I'm going to just put it out there. I kind of felt like, well, this is so very Portland.
Yeah.
That Portland is often accused of yes. being very progressive but white-centric, right? And I think that this march has, it's not just me who I've heard these sentiments from, yeah. but I sort of wonder if now that this changeover has happened, and you see kind of the public discussion actually kind of changing and becoming mm-hmm. a little bit more robust. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of wondering, is this reflective of the new, possibly new Portland?
Yeah,
what that is?
This is the Portland I want. I've always felt like Portland has like a potential to be a way better city. Like, I think it's a great city, but it definitely prides itself on being progressive, and that's very white. And it like has no problem being the whitest city. It's just kind of like, yeah, that's who we are, even though it's not necessarily a white city at all. And so I've always tried really hard to make my spaces a little less white and kind of make things happen. And so this is kind of fun that now I get to organize this march and be like, all right, I'm going to release onto you all of these people of color, because this is what our city actually looks like. And so it's really rad that we are known as this white city. And then our march is like the second biggest right now. That's what it's like coming in with the numbers. Wow. And it's just going to be so diverse and so inclusive. And I want so badly for people to recognize that Portland isn't just this progressive place that's mostly just white, and that there are so many other types of people here doing things and making things happen.
You know, we're just about running out of time, so I want to make sure that our listeners get all the details about the actual event. So if people want to find out more, where can they go to find out those details?
So you can go online right now. We don't have a website up. That was taken down. So everything is on Facebook, and it's just under Women's March on Portland. And that will just lead you to an event, that will lead you to our organization page, and then you can join the group if you want to have some discussions. If you don't want to have discussions, just join the event. It's a lot calmer over there.
And for those who don't want to take place on the joy of online discussions and they just want to show up for the event, what time do they do that and where do they show up?
At 12 p.m. And it's going to be... so that's another thing. We're meeting with the city to confirm what the best route is, because they're kind of nervous about our numbers. So we are announcing where it is exactly on Thursday, but it will be on the southwest waterfront near where the Saturday market is.
Okay, well, just people who want to find out more can just check your Facebook page out to find more. Mm-hmm. Will the website eventually go back up?
We're hoping it will.
And what is the social media handle that people can maybe find
you guys on? On Instagram, it's Women March on PDX. And then I believe on Twitter, it's WMWPDX.
Well, thank you very, very, very much for coming in, because you came in last minute. We really, really appreciate you being here and to be able to talk about this so in depth, because this is a really important march to so many people here in Portland. So once again, that's Margaret Jacobson, the organizer of the Women's March here in Portland, happening on January 21st from 12 to 4, although the family portion begins at 11.
Yes.
For more details, go on to their Facebook page.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming in.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Tom Flynn, Al Khan, Kyle Krasesi, Khalid Mosley. The producer is Jenna Yokoyama. Special thanks to Free Speech Radio News. Our engineer is Wesley the Potentiometer Seway, and David Kesters. The KBOO Evening News and Public Affairs Director is Charity Merchant. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at KBOO News. You are listening to KBOO Portland at 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Kanan Schlesinger.
And I'm Jenny Yokoyama. Coming up tomorrow on KBOO at 7, it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8, Paul Rowland welcomes your calls on Wednesday Talk Radio. At 9, it's the Project Censored Show and calls for a mass uprising to stop the Trump regime before it starts. At 10, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. And at 10:15, hear Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein, your daily news magazine. At 11, the Dirtbag will answer your questions, including, is this cold good for anything in the garden? Thanks to you, KBOO members, for your generous support. Not a current member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on donate. Night, Kanan.
Night, Jenna.
Night, David.
Night, David.
And you are listening to KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud sponsor of Maggots and Men, Sunday, January 15th at 4:30 p.m. at the Hollywood Theater in Portland. Maggots and Men is an experimental film set in post-revolutionary Russia, and it tells the story of the 1921 uprising of the Kronstadt sailors with a subtext of gender anarchy. This film is a benefit for Out There Adventures,